BMV refunds. Is state government handling the givebacks properly? The state's growing surplus, a $750,000 upgrade in the House of Representatives, and the role played by an Indiana congressman in the passage of a farm bill. That, plus Justin Bieber in Indy and more on Indiana Week in Review for the week ending July 12, 2013.
Ice Miller, proud to support Indiana Week in Review. The path to a successful business has unexpected twists and turns. The legal professionals at Ice Miller are dedicated to guiding businesses along the journey. Experience takes businesses to the top. Ice Miller can help them stay there. Ice Miller, it's a complex world. Be advised.
AT&T, connecting Hoosiers with the world for more than 130 years. Investing to build communication networks to help Indiana businesses and consumers succeed in a global economy. AT&T, rethink possible.
This week, the Bureau of Motor Vehicles agreed to return money to Indiana drivers who were overcharged for their operator's licenses. The move comes in response to a $30 million lawsuit. The BMV earlier admitted to overcharging, but resisted sending out immediate refunds. Instead, the money will be returned in the form of a credit to the account of each affected motorist on any type of transaction. BMV Commissioner Scott Waddell said in a statement that it's, quote, the right thing to do. Is this the right way to handle the BMV refunds? It's the first question for our Indiana Week in Review panel, Democrat Ann Delaney. Republican Mike McDaniel, Eric Bradner, State House Bureau Chief for the Evansville Courier and Press, and John Ketzenberger, President of the Indiana Fiscal Policy Institute. I'm Wish TV State House reporter Jim Shella. Ann Delaney, how big an embarrassment is this for the BMV?
Oh, I think it's a pretty big embarrassment for the BMV and the Daniels administration. You know, all these good business practices brought in, you know, you $300 million here, $300 million there. They overcharge, illegally overcharge
since 2007.
And I frankly don't think this is the right way to handle this, which is the way you set the question up originally. I mean, they admit they took the money illegally. They ought to send it back now. Instead, they're going to hold on to it for several years. They're not going to pay interest, as I understand it, on the money. And then if you have subsequent transactions, you'll get your money back. They ought to just send it back. What they did was wrong. They ought to rectify the situation.
Well, and that's the point that Irwin Levin, who handled the lawsuit, has made. He says people who have moved out of state won't get a refund. Nobody gets interest, and some of this money they've held on to for 6 years doesn't sound right, does it?
This is the absolute right way to do this, and the reason is if you took the time to actually print checks and go to the cost of mailing to everybody, you're almost going to double the cost of this thing. And it's silly. It's taxpayer money. $3.50 checks are going to mail out to all these people. You can apply the credit the next time you go there, and this is the way to do it.
What about
and
interest? Keep it, what about interest?
What about interest on $3.50?
Over now, 6 years?
You have a 97.
It's a lot of money to the state.
How much is
it
over 6 years?
Well,
42 cents?
Yeah,
it's more than that. It's more than
go
that.
Go for it.
But I mean,
come on. I mean,
in the name of
the
doing
right
things
to,
right,
this is the right way to do
from
this.
From the other side, it's 42 cents.
This is the right way to do this, and it only makes sense. This went into effect at 8:30 this morning. Anybody that has a transaction, either a license or renewing a plate or whatever, will start to see that as of today, and it's the way to get it done.
You expect this will be back in court?
I think it will. This is not the way most class action lawsuits are handled. And Ann's right. I mean, Mitch Daniels spent a lot of time working on the BMV, touting the BMV. Mike is also right. $3.50 does not seem like much, but $30 or $40 million of taxpayer money that government has improperly collected doesn't look good. I'm a little bit surprised that there aren't a couple of options to get it back. If that money matters to you, why shouldn't you be able to request it immediately? If you've moved out of state, why shouldn't you be able to request it immediately? But, at least the state has sort of indicated an interest in trying to solve it.
I can tell you, I just went and renewed my driver's license after the fees were reduced, so I'm not only owed any money from that, but I probably am from the previous, and I'll get that money back when I renew my license plate,
right.
I assume.
So, well, you assume. The problem here is...
I'm in September, so I'll probably get it. But some people it'll be next year.
Not mine would be next year.
Yeah, I think that the problem is that if this was going the other way and people owed the state money, the state would require that you pay the interest. The state would require that you pay them in cash.
And a fine.
And maybe even a fine. I think that's the way that it should probably be viewed, and I think that the state, especially with its strong fiscal position, should do the right thing and refund the money to these folks. I know, Mike, it would be expensive, but they ignored the law, and they did it for a long period of time, and it wasn't until somebody called foul that they actually did something about it.
I think you got another factor involved here. We now have a 97% approval rating of the way the Bureau of the Motor Vehicles handles its business. Remember what it was when Mitch Daniels took the job and what it is today.
I'm telling you,
most people are not going to be upset over the 42 cents or whatever it is in interest that they might lose if they wait for a year or 6 years or whatever you're claiming it might be.
That may be
there's a factor of approval that goes on here that's part of this equation. And most people think this is the right way to do it because
how do we know that?
What about the principle?
I think as people find out, we might find out otherwise.
Right, because
they have had
the same situation with, for example, the Indiana Department of Revenue,
right.
Who will go after you for a $2 claim, okay,
right. With interest,
and then put interest,
right.
And then put penalties on it,
right.
And then try to attach your property to enforce it. And they say, oh, if the shoe's on the other foot, it doesn't count. I don't think you're going to find most people approval with that.
I'll give you your 42.
It's not 42 cents. It's more than that. And it is the principle, Michael.
Yeah, and, you know, this happens within a larger context, right? There were the Department of Revenue errors. There's this. It sort of seems like a lot in a fairly short period of time. You've got to wonder why the state doesn't have some sort of mechanism to deal with this. I've always thought a state comptroller instead of an auditor and treasurer might be a good idea.
You want to get rid of an elected officer, too?
I want to get rid of...
Two?
Yeah.
The other thing I think that's important to recognize here is that a lot of these errors are because of computer problems.
Sure.
They're old systems,
right.
And the state hasn't done a good job of updating
and
its computer systems.
Database.
It's expensive, but it needs to be done.
Or they've outsourced them.
They can have my 42 cents to do that.
Other problems.
Right.
Time now for viewer feedback. Each week we pose an unscientific online poll question in conjunction with our Ice Miller email and text alerts. This week's question is, should the BMV refund overcharges immediately? Your choices are A, yes, or B, no. Last week's question was, should Indiana permit same-sex divorce? 51% said yes, 49% said no. If you'd like to take part in the poll, go to wfyi.org/IWIR and look for the poll. Governor Mike Pence spoke at an ecumenical service to kick off Indiana Black Expo this week, and he addressed the recent surge in murders in Indianapolis.
We have hope because we have faith in all the people of this community to come together to solve this crisis in our city and make our city whole.
Now, earlier that day, the governor had a more pleasant message reporting that year-end budget numbers show $86 million more than expected in cash reserves. Total reserves approach $2 billion. House Democratic Leader Scott Pelath notes the surplus was built on deep cuts to services. Mike McDaniel, who deserves credit for that surplus, Mike Pence or Mitch Daniels?
Both, actually, in the Indiana General Assembly. The Republican leadership in both houses have put together honestly balanced budgets. They've saved taxpayers a lot of money and interest by paying down debt and good stewardship by both the Daniels administration and the start of the Pence administration is why we're probably the envy of every state in the union fiscally right now.
Scott Pelath doesn't agree that we should be the envy.
Well, the state is not in the business of building a surplus, and that's what you think when you listen to the Republicans. The only purpose of state government is to build a surplus.
This is what Republicans were saying when Frank O'Bannon was governor, right?
Right, exactly. The same kind of thing. In any event, what you've got here is a situation, though, where you have deprived schools of resources they need. The property tax freeze has meant that when we're having the murders in Indianapolis, we don't have enough police on the streets. And the roads are in disrepair, and so we can do this now. We can ride on the bumpy roads and try to make up for this. We're going to get a little amount of money back, which probably won't cover the textbook bill for the kids or maybe fill up a full tank of gas, and we're supposed to be grateful to them for this. And I just think that they have their heads turned on backwards if they think that's what the purpose of the state government is.
But the PLATH message is the most interesting development, I think, here in recent months, because Democrats helped build this surplus. They went along, for the most part, with the Daniels budgets, but now they're singing a different tune.
Well, what you're seeing is a difference of opinion and philosophy. It's emerging here that you have the philosophy of the Republicans that's been expressed here by Ann and by Mike, and then you have the philosophy of the Democrats as expressed by Scott PLATH that maybe we should invest some of that money in other things. We talked earlier about the computer systems in Indiana and how antiquated many of them are. Maybe that's something that you spend money on. I mean, paying down debt in areas that you can is a good idea, but when you've got a huge unfunded liability in teachers' retirement fund, maybe that's something else you should take a look at and put more money into. So these are policy discussions and questions, and I think that's where we're going with this right now. We're seeing the differences being enunciated.
Well, Mike Pence will tell you that the pension liabilities are 80% covered and that's acceptable.
Well,
are the priorities out of whack?
It's acceptable if you're the governor for 4 years or 8 years and you're not having to deal with that in 2025 when it's eating up more and more of the state's budget every year. Now, is Indiana's pension situation out of control? No. But is it insignificant looking at the budget moving forward? No. So it is a matter of priorities. I mean, there are one-time areas that you could tackle. You could pump more into pensions. There are other areas like education where funding increases are not keeping up with inflation. There's the Medicaid expansion that Indiana has opted not to pursue. So it's really a matter of both your priorities, sort of on a typical liberal versus conservative sort of spectrum, but then also your view of financing state government and what's more important now or later, and how responsible legislators ought to be and the governor ought to be now for solving the problems that are coming.
And right now the conservatives have the clout.
Sure. They have the votes. But that doesn't, you know, we still have a significant portion of our population not covered by insurance, and we don't opt into the federal system like we should. And, you know,
decision hasn't been made.
Well, they didn't jump on board yet, okay?
No, right.
And the money's going to go to states that have jumped on board if we don't do it. And we still have 8% unemployment. What does this surplus do to employ any of the people that need jobs?
It keeps the state fiscally solvent and allows businesses that want to come here.
Well, you know, Mike, I've heard that story.
No, it's true.
It is attractive to some businesses.
You guys poo-poo the fact that we're in a great fiscal shape like it was nothing.
No,
big deal.
I think that's
just wrong.
It's not that it's nothing. The problem is, I first heard daylight savings time was going to make us the envy,
and
they were all going to come.
It's helped bring
then
jobs
right
here.
To work was going to do that.
And
then
it's
the
doing,
surplus,
it's doing
and we
that
have
too.
An 8% unemployment,
are working.
And our income is going down.
Yeah. And the economy overall is bad.
Our income is
how
going
much
down.
Money is there? Enough so that the state budget committee this week released $750,000 to be spent on renovations in the House of Representatives. Representative Tim Brown says the House chamber hasn't been updated in decades, and it shows. For example, the chandelier is held together with zip ties and is an electrical hazard. Brown says the renovations have been put on hold long enough.
We did put it off during the recession, during the tight period. You know, we gave over $600 million per year of tax relief to the citizens of the state of Indiana. This is just a small amount of repair and restoration to a historic building, which is the people's building that they come to see.
John Katzenberger, is that money well spent?
Well, Jim, a cynic would say let it fall on their heads, but I'm not a cynic. I'm an optimist.
The chandelier.
And I think that it is important. I mean, for a lot of reasons, safety foremost among them. But it is, Representative Brown is right, it is the people's house. It needs to be maintained. There was a problem with water damage. The carpeting was catching on people's heels, and there's a real hazard of people falling and hurting themselves. So it's probably better money spent now than later in damages and some kind of a liability question.
The questions were raised about this when it first showed up in the budget, because it showed up at about the time that Republicans were criticizing Glenda Ritz for spending $85,000 at her office, $750,000 by comparison. Is there room for criticism here?
Well, look, I mean, the State House ought to be a place that people are proud of. It's their tax dollars. It's their building. But, yeah, that's the problem. So it's an optical issue. It's not about the $750,000. Grand scheme of things, not much money. Repairs are needed. But, yeah, I mean, both when they're complaining about Glenda Ritz and some of these other innovations and when we're talking about school funding, about services. It's just people who are already mad about government finances, about the government not doing enough to help the areas in which they're interested, are going to be just driven insane by this kind of stuff.
They seem, the Republicans in the House seem a little defensive about this.
Because you always are when it comes to rid of spending money on the state house. That's always the case. And look, I was amazed that it wasn't more than it was. $750,000 for what they're trying to do didn't seem like a lot to me.
New chairs and carpet.
You know, I mean, that chandelier is dangerous.
Right.
The carpet is dangerous. The desk that the staff people use, Republicans and Democrats, are all surplus desks. Some of them don't even have desk drawers in them. They're the desks that they use for staff. I mean, it's crazy. And it needs to be done, and this is the right time to do it.
And we need to take some pride in our state house, right?
Well, I don't disagree with that any more than when I said Glenda Ritz has had a right to reorganize the space herself. The reason Republicans are so defensive about it is that Rex would say there's hypocrisy and hypocrisy, and we're now in the hypocrisy clover over here with them.
The space is a little different in size, too.
When you Michael,
Glenda Ritz's
defensive.
Office, which
right
is about
thing.
The size of the set.
You said the right thing
the
about
House
Glenda. Just let
silly.
It go. Yeah. Don't try to have it both ways.
No, really.
Moving on.
Crazy.
Indiana Congressman Marlon Stutzman is declaring victory this week. He's a sponsor of the Farm Bill that passed the House of Representatives.
The bill is passed.
The bill, which passed on a vote of 216 to 208, funds just the agricultural side of the Farm Bill. Democrats blasted the measure as a partisan bill that ignores the food stamp program. In its current form, the bill is designed to go nowhere. The Democratic-led Senate has already passed the standard Farm Bill and will probably reject this splintered version. The White House has also issued a veto threat. Eric Bradner, what have Stutzman and the Republicans accomplished here?
They've pleased a lot of conservatives that for a long time have been driven crazy by this idea that you need to combine nutritional assistance with agricultural subsidies into one bill to get urban and rural votes. But moving forward, I don't think any of them realistically expect an agriculture-only farm bill to become law. But, from their perspective, it's an incremental thing. It's the first time that's happened. It shows that the traditional group of votes can't hold, especially in a time when the House Republican conference is already talking about eliminating, $20.5 billion over 10 years for food stamps. So it shows that Republican leadership's in a tough spot, and the conservatives have a lot of sway over what might ultimately be included.
It's a political statement, but eventually, you do have to have both sides of this together in order to win passage, right?
No, well, yes. In order to win passage, you do. And I think what Eric is talking about is significant in that regard. You've got this caucus, if you will, exerting its influence, and it may not pass. There may not be a farm bill. There may not be a food stamp bill. And then what happens, that wing probably is very satisfied with that outcome, and we'll see what goes on.
I think the Tea Party wing is satisfied with that outcome. When you look at the more mainstream conservative groups, they prefer the Senate version, even with the food stamps there, because it's a much more fiscally responsible bill. It does a lot more than Stutzman's bill does in terms of fiscal responsibility, not to mention the fact that it keeps coupled issues that have been coupled together for, 50 years.
Yeah.
So a long time.
Interesting to see Stutzman playing a lead role.
Yeah, he did. He was a major accomplishment for him because this has never been done. He was right. Why not go for honesty? Why not have these bills stand on their own? Why not vote for a farm bill that's about farm bills? And why not vote for a food stamp bill separately and debate those two issues? That's what he's trying to do here, and that should be the way business is done in Washington, but it's not. And everybody knows at the end of the day, they'll probably come back together. And I absolutely do not believe that we won't see either one of them pass. You'll see both of them eventually pass.
I'm saying the outcome wouldn't displease those folks.
You did say that we might not have a bill. That's just not going to happen. We will have a bill.
Well, and this
is a deal where
you should be passing these things based on their merits, and that's what he's trying to do.
Well, I get laughed at when I say that. When I say that, people laugh.
The Senate bill that came over cuts food stamps by $400 million. So don't make it sound like it's just the Republicans.
Yeah, but your Republicans in the House would not pass a food stamps bill, period.
When this is put back together, when nutrition and agriculture are put back together, it's going to be an important test for John Boehner, and Stutzman is clearly positioning himself as sort of a darling of the conservatives who is willing to challenge Boehner. It's sort of the kind of a new Mike Pence approach to some extent.
All right, Indiana Senator Dan Coats is speaking out this week on a number of topics. They include NSA leaker Edward Snowden and his attempts to get asylum overseas. Coats says anyone who shelters him will be making a mistake.
We are working with those countries saying, don't just think about short term here. You may have a problem with the United States, but you really want to harbor this person for years coming forward because we'll never be able to repair those relations with you.
Now, on another matter, Coats is among those calling for a permanent delay of Obamacare. He's one of more than 45 Republican senators who signed a letter to the president this week. And Delaney, in light of the recent delay in the employer mandate, does that make sense?
No, it doesn't. And he gets a C for the week. I agree with him on Snowden. But, you know, we've been waiting for health care for people, 300,000 people in this state for a long time. And it has to come, and it has to come soon. He would roll back and wouldn't cover pre-existing conditions, wouldn't help people get the insurance. You know, they ought to give up the fight. They've lost.
Well, are Republicans playing politics at this point?
Oh,
Dan
no!
Coats knows that this thing eventually is probably going to happen in some form, but the Obama administration is not meeting their own deadlines. They're not going to have these
exchanges. In at least one case.
No, they're not going to have the exchanges in place by October 1st, but we're going to tax the people of America for a bill that isn't going to happen. It isn't going to happen anytime soon.
How can you with a straight face?
It's true.
Republican,
it's absolutely
every
true.
Every right-wing Republican has tried to do this from the time it
Look,
passed,
you're
Mike,
costing
including
jobs.
The state.
You're costing
oh, you're
jobs
costing
with this
jobs.
Bill?
Eric,
absolutely are. You know you are.
I mean, the Republicans have
this
never been for
you
this.
You know, you have
the biggest.
But is there some momentum building for resistance to Obamacare
sure
at this point?
I don't think so. I mean, this is a new, you know, a new stab at an old stance. Obviously, the latest delays are an embarrassment for the Obama administration. There's no doubt about that. And obviously, Republicans were going to try to use that to emphasize their position that it was a bad idea from the start. No surprise, but they don't control the White House. They don't control the Senate. And so things haven't changed that much.
Dan Coats is taking a much more conservative line in this term in the Senate than he did previously, isn't he?
Well, it's amazing how, in retrospect, your views change, isn't it, Jim?
Yes.
I mean, that's the case. Clearly, he's read the voters. He's read the populace from his perspective, and he thinks that he needs to take a more conservative stand than he did when he was a senator before.
You agree?
Probably. Yeah, I think he is taking a more conservative stand. But I always get a kick out of people talking about how people changing their minds, how somehow that's a big change. Obama was a little more conservative in his first term than he is in his second term. Would you agree with that?
Probably.
Uh-huh, I would think so. So, I mean, I don't get the big problem here with how these people
feel. He had passed the health care bill as the government provider and taken the insurance companies completely out of it, which is the way it's going to work.
He's a whole different guy now than he was when he ran the first time.
But, you know, it's going to come. It's going to come because people need it. And, you know, we ought to get on board in this state because otherwise the money's going to go elsewhere.
Finally, what would cheer you up more than a Justin Bieber concert? Colts player Matt Overton surprised 10 girls from Riley Hospital for Children this week with tickets to a Bieber concert. The girls got to ride in a limo to Bankers Life Fieldhouse. They watched the concert from a private suite, and they had a great time.
It was so awesome! How was it?
What is
How awesome it was for these kids. It really was. They were dancing the whole time, crying. It's just awesome to see him having a great time, having a lot of fun.
Matt Overton there. Mike McDaniel, does the NFL need that kind of positive public relations right now?
Matt did a great thing here. You think about how tough things are for these kids at Riley Hospital, and to pick 10 little girls and take them by limo to a concert like that, I thought it was absolutely spectacular and good for him. He's a good citizen.
And the NFL does need some positive PR.
Oh,
right?
My gosh, yes. They ought to be doing five of these in every one of the media markets to
talk
try
about,
to make up for the problems they've got.
Talk about PR for the NFL, though. I mean, PR for a long snapper. You've got some former offensive linemen here who appreciate the significance of a long snapper being talked about
there you go.
At a time other than when he screws up and snaps it over the punter's head.
Absolutely right.
Oh, boy.
Well done, Eric. That's Indiana Week in Review for this week. Our panel is Democrat Ann Delaney, Republican Mike McDaniel, Eric Bradner of the Evansville Courier and Press, and John Ketzenberger of the Indiana Fiscal Policy Institute. If you'd like a podcast of this program, you can find it at WFYI.org/podcast, or starting Monday, you can stream it or get it on demand from Xfinity or Bright House Networks. I'm Jim Shello of Wish TV. We'll see you again next week.
Ice Miller, proud to support Indiana Week in Review. The path to a successful business has unexpected twists and turns. The legal professionals at Ice Miller are dedicated to guiding businesses along the journey. Experience takes businesses to the top. Ice Miller can help them stay there. Ice Miller, it's a complex world. Be advised.
AT&T, connecting Hoosiers with the world for more than 130 years. Investing to build communication networks to help Indiana businesses and consumers succeed in a global economy. AT&T, rethink possible.